The men and women who survived the horrors of the Holocaust are now senior citizens, and many of them are facing a new enemy, the weakening of the mind that comes with age. As they grow older, their minds are no longer able to suppress or compartmentalize painful memories of ghettos and gas chambers and losing their loved ones. Caring for this unique population of survivors presents unique challenges. A group of independent social workers in Chicago is trying to help doctors and other healthcare professionals understand those special needs.
You could say that Alfred Birnbaum is 81 years young. He appears strong and sturdy, sitting here in the offices of Council for Jewish Elderly in Chicago. Birnbaum is discussing the Polish village of his childhood, a small town called Tarnowitz. His voice is clear, and his gaze is fixed, until he begins talking about the war.
The war began in 1939, September 1st. And on September 7th, my family was killed. My parents were burned alive. So that's how it began.
Birnbaum stops. His discomfort is apparent as he tells his story. His shoulders stiffen, his eyes are wet with tears, and he wrings his hands repeatedly.
So then after this, I was arrested by the Gestapo. It was in Europe. And they packed us into trains and they took us to work. It was cold, windy, and rainy day. They stopped the train and they unloaded 1,000 people and they marched us about knee high into mud. And when this whole group was in the dirt, then they opened machine gun fire from all sides. So maybe 200 people, I was among the 200 that were young and strong enough to run. We didn't know that we'll make it because the bullets were flying. But we managed to run and escape and hide in forests.
How old were you then?
18.
Barely a man.
Yeah.
Alfred Birnbaum was eventually captured by Russian troops and spent the next 5 years doing hard labor at a Siberian work camp. He says he rarely allows himself to revisit that painful chapter, and now he and his family here have a full life, which helps keep the horrors at a distance.
We go to meetings and concerts, and we volunteer also tutoring kids. So we keep busy. So we don't have much time to think about these things.
One of the difficult things about getting older, I'm told, is that you can't keep those memories at bay. You say sometimes you can handle it, and as you get older, those memories come whether you can handle it or not.
And it's not getting easy, I can tell you that. No.
For many survivors, they put those memories in a box, hid them away, and haven't talked about them.
Anne Hartman-Lubin is a social worker with Council for Jewish Elderly. Her clients are Holocaust survivors and their families living in the Chicago metro area.
They were told after the war, don't talk about it. People didn't want to listen. People didn't want to hear about it. They were told, forget about it. So for many, what they have been doing is compartmentalizing those memories for all these years. And now they're finding, despite even their best attempts to do that, the memories are rushing forth.
More than 60 years after the first Jews were taken to concentration camps, those that survived are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. The ability to turn the spigot of memory on and off at will falters with age. Anne Hartman-Lubin says the memories can be vivid and immediate.
Survivors will talk about, it's like it happened yesterday. It's that clear to me. I can remember the sounds and the sights and the smells of what happened at that particular moment.
This phenomenon is especially true for survivors who suffer from age-related dementia, particularly Alzheimer's. For patients who lose their short-term memory, the past slowly becomes the present, and the Holocaust can dominate their lives. Even the smallest things can conjure vivid recollections of the Holocaust. Tragically, many of the triggers are typical sights and sounds you find in hospitals and nursing homes. White lab coats and uniforms, restraints and locked doors, antiseptic smells, and people crying out or screaming in pain. Robin Golden is director of program development at Council for Jewish Elderly. She remembers a story she heard a few years ago, a story that convinced her that more needed to be done for aging survivors.
At a nursing home, the nurses' aides were lining people up in a row in their wheelchairs, and, you know, they weren't facing one another. They were facing forward, lined up, and saying, okay, come on, we're getting you in line for the showers. And one person became very agitated and combative and striking out and very upset. And what I learned from that is that person was a survivor, and lining up for the showers in the camps represented potentially going into the gas chambers. And how she revisited that traumatic time was extremely powerful, and the nurse's aide wasn't aware of what that kind of lining up would do and what it would recreate. And I think that really motivated me to come back and say we have to have a program.
That program became Holocaust Community Services, which provides counseling and care to elderly survivors and educates the professionals who watch over them. It is places like this where the program is making a difference. The Lieberman Geriatric Health Center in Skokie, a suburb of Chicago. Lieberman is a Jewish nursing home for 240 residents. And on this day, more than half are gathered together for a holiday concert. A senior citizens orchestra plays Hanukkah music while people clap their hands and sing along. At the same time, one floor up, 18 nursing assistants are sitting in a circle, watching a video.
The Germans embarked on a coordinated program of mass murder designed to rid Europe of all Jews.
It's part of a workshop for healthcare workers. Most of them are not Jewish, and the Holocaust was something they learned about in history books. But today they are getting a lesson on how the tragedy affects some of the people they care for. After the video, social worker David Beer leads the discussion.
Now, everyone's old here. Present company accepted. But all your residents are old. But what about the people who forget? The people who get confused, the people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, who cannot express themselves but can still have those memories, because it's the older memories that you somehow retain without much choice when you don't want to be bothered by them. And it's the newer ones that you can't remember. She may not know your name, but she'll remember the horrible experiences before. Am I making sense? You're welcome to interrupt if I've got a question.
I had one reaction.
Nursing assistant Mary Rogers is one of the first to speak up.
I was clearing the table from one of the residents, and I never saw her do it before. But when I took the bread from her, I was called a thief. I got hit. It took a while to calm her down until my manager pulled me to the side and explained to me that she was a Holocaust survivor, and she explained how they saved bread, and bread was a commodity, and you can get medical care or whatever you need if you had bread on me. So now I hesitate, even though I know she's finished. If she's holding her bread, I just let her hold it. Because as I understand, and the more I read, the better you are in caring for the residents and knowing.
You have to gain their trust also and tell them it's okay.
A few chairs down, Eva Washington, another nurse's aide, joins in. This is her second workshop.
I had the experience. I had to work with the family because I couldn't figure out why. I'm not going to call his name. He did not want to take a shower at all. So the family members used to come in and give him a bath because he used to scream. And also he used to hide food, and we couldn't figure out why he used to hide food till we found out he had been through this. We couldn't understand why they didn't like white too. Wearing like white, plain white. Because like a lab coat.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the lab coat, you get it from here.
Right.
In those concentration or death camps, the hospitals were not really hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
There was experimental cruelty, but there was very little treatment that took place. And anyone who ended up in the hospital very frequently was immediately going to die.
Each residential floor in the Lieberman Center has a central meeting place, a kind of indoor town square where people gather in their wheelchairs. The walls are painted bright sherbet tones with stenciled flower gardens meant to convey a sense of comfort and familiarity. But moving into a nursing home, even in the best of circumstances, is a difficult transition. All the more so for Holocaust survivors. Not only does it represent a loss of control, for many it can also be a second institutionalization. Whether survivors live in places like the Lieberman Center or independently, Anne Hartman-Lubin and her team are always on the lookout for what can spark a flashback. And it's not always easy, because the triggers can be as subtle as the sun filtering through fall leaves or the celebration of a family milestone.
It was a man that we were working with, lived in the community, in very good health, physically and cognitively, and all of a sudden started having these memories, nightmares, just would break out in cold sweats, just very difficult time. And in working with one of our social workers, began to understand that for him, his grandson had just turned the age that he was the night of Kristallnacht, when that was when the war began for him. That raised for him all sorts of anxiety. The anxiety is about what might it be for his grandson if, God forbid, the world turned upside down again as it had for him when he was his age.
For Anne Hartman-Lubin and all the others in this program, social work is very much like detective work. They are compiling a library of sorts of potential triggers and memories. They are sharing that information, hoping it will help others caring for Holocaust survivors and any aging population that has witnessed the ravages of war in places like Cambodia, Rwanda, or Bosnia. Anne Hartman-Lubin acknowledges that this kind of work can be emotionally taxing for her and her colleagues, but she says they are driven by an extreme sense of duty and respect for these men and women.
What helps me in listening to the stories is to look at the person who's sitting in front of me. Look what they were able to accomplish in their lives. They rebuilt their lives. They built new families. They built the education. The fact the person's speaking to me in fluent English, that they have an amazing amount of strength as individuals.
The social workers are providing comfort and dignity in old age by protecting elderly survivors from reliving their painful past. They understand that enduring those horrors once was one time too many.